This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Fay. How are you?
I'm wonderful. It's a beautiful Saturday. First beautiful day I've seen in several days. How about you?
Yes, we're past Halloween. We are now into November. It's the first Saturday of November, and it is beautiful outside. We had some tricky weather earlier this week for Halloween, and then we got past
tricky,
that.
Tricky, it was raining cats and dogs.
Well, in some places, yeah, it got kind of ugly. Wow.
It got ugly and got cold, didn't it?
It did. It got ugly and cold.
And the cold front just swished right in under us.
Yes.
It was in the 40s, wasn't it?
At one point, yeah. It got really, really, really cold.
Yeah, I knew. It was like 46 or something like that.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, it's a wonderful day. It's wonderful to be here. Hey, it's wonderful to be alive.
Oh, I heard that. Yeah. Now that's...
I mean, you know, everybody should be thankful for that.
If nothing else, we're all alive,
That's right. We're on this side of the green grass, and that's important.
Well, yes, that's very important. We're on this side.
That's right. Well, what do you think about us giving out the phone number?
Let's do that. Let's go ahead.
Okay. It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage. Now that Halloween's over, they will be having things over there for Thanksgiving and Christmas. They're going to move it on up. They're not going to wait. Just going to move it on up.
Have you been over there for the holidays spectacular yet?
I have. I've seen it. I know how beautiful it is. I'm thinking about taking some things out of there. I never have enough centerpieces.
These are the things you dream about, isn't it?
It is. You know, I own that store as much as I like it.
Yeah, I know.
Because they have wonderful things in there.
You ought to just buy it, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think we could ever put all that in one house.
Well, no, but...
No.
You may have to buy another house then.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to have two houses to put it all in, but they have some wonderful pieces in there.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if men would appreciate it as much as their wives would. Their wives could go crazy in there.
Sure.
The wives could buy everything they want for Christmas right in there.
Oh, I bet.
Yes. They have little crystal pieces. They have crystal trays. I mean, they have centerpieces. They have paintings. Candle decorations. I could go on and on, but I better not.
I feel like you need to go back over there and get some more stuff.
I'm going to try to contain myself. I'm going to hold back.
Get some self-control. I'm going to hold back.
Yeah, I'm going to hold back. Because remember, I was already over there once.
Yeah, and you'll be over there many more times before the holidays are over.
I think that's true. I think I will because I cannot resist. I don't know who their buyer is, but their buyer's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is all about growing your money so that you can retire happy and wealthy and early. And so I know last week when we talked, there was some very exciting things going on. You had several policies that you were closing on and about ready to get people in. And then I know you had some more on the horizon. So what are we looking at this week?
Okay, we've closed 3 million.
Whoa.
In policies. Yes, we closed 3 million this week in policies. That's a lot. We've got a lot more to close that we're going to be closing. These are really good policies, I think. All different time lengths, you know, but they're great. And I went back and we researched to see how many policies have matured and people have got paid this year. It's $12 million in returns for the year.
Wow.
That's a lot of money to return, and that's at the 1st of October. As of the 1st of October, we had returned $12 million to clients.
My goodness, and we still have two more months.
We've got 2 months to go, and I'm hoping some of the big ones will come in, and I'm probably wrong. It'll probably be some $250,000, $300,000 ones, but the money spent, it doesn't matter what size it is.
Wow. $12 million.
$12 million has matured up through October 1st.
That's
so that's
a lot.
Pretty good.
For 9 months worth of investment time, that's a lot of returns in 9 months.
And half of them were early. Half were early. The other half were not early, but half were early. So that's pretty good statistics. And then, as I said, we closed 3 million policies this week. We're going to be closing probably 2 million next week. I don't think it'll be as much. I think it'll only be 2 million this next week. But we're emailing people. We're letting them know. You know, they've been waiting and waiting. We're ready. We're ready. We're getting them in policies, and we're just going down the line as fast as we can. Okay?
So
we're going to get them all in policies as quick as possible. And then there'll be people who are wanting right here at the end of the year to put more money in. Now's the time because all their money in their accounts will be fully invested probably in the next 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
I think every dime will be invested.
Wow. That's an awful lot of availability out there, too, that you're filling. That's cool.
It is cool. And all these policies, like this week, all the papers came in, and so we started closing. And then we've got papers we're waiting on for next week, and I know there's at least 2 million papers that will be coming Monday and Tuesday. I don't know, you know, how many of the others we'll get in, but I'm pretty sure at least 2 million will be closed this next week.
Wow, that's an awful lot. So as we look ahead, and I know things kind of change, you know, day by day and year by year, but as we look ahead, you know, we're into November now, and so what does this do to people's portfolio? Is this the time where, you know, because I know business in general starts to slack off in the next couple of weeks, you know, for the holidays, people start to slow down a little bit around middle of
November.
They
won't be this year. Midland and Odessa and Points West are so busy, they won't be slacking down right now.
So we're kicking.
Last year's, yes, but not right now.
Yeah. All right. So as far as the investments go, is this the time that people want to get involved, or is it just like the same year round?
We're getting a lot of calls from people saying, you know, I'm a new customer. I'd like to put money with you. We've been listening to you for 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So we've had several calls like that in the last week. And in fact, I'm meeting next week with new clients, several new clients that have friends that have their money with me. They've made a lot of money. So, you know, they kind of trust us by now because their friends have been with us for several years and made quite a bit of money.
Does anything happen once we get towards like the end of December? Like if you're not invested by, you know, January 1st, does anything happen? Is there some accrual of anything? Or are people looking in the next 2 months to hurry up and get money invested into something?
Yes. Everybody's wanting to get their money invested for the end of the year. And then I've got people that will be getting bonuses here at the end of the year.
Ah.
So if they get their bonuses before the end of the year, they'll put it in. If not, the bonuses won't come in until next year to their IRAs. But remember, most of the money that people have made, it's in IRAs. And if it is, they will not pay tax on that until they take it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's the nice thing about it. It's accumulating. It's making interest. And they don't have to pay tax on it for a long time. Remember, 70 and a half is when you absolutely have to start taking it out. And a lot of our people, like you say, they're going to retire early. They're going to retire at 60, 63. They've been working for an oil company a long time, and they're tired. And if that happens, of course, you know, they're going to start drawing money, start drawing their interest out of their accounts. So we don't know till they say, I'm going to retire this year or I'm going to retire in the next 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
But we are having a lot of people I think are going to retire early because they're making money right here at the end that's going to catch them up and get them ready.
Yeah. Well, I know, you know, there's two times during the year where people stop and reflect. One is around June when we're like at that halfway mark. And then the other one is, you know, right towards the end of the year. So do you find that people tend to want to retire, you know, sometime at the end of a calendar year? Or is it just kind of, you know, any time during the year at random?
It seems to me it's in the spring.
Okay.
You know, after the end of the year, they've gotten their bonus, they've gotten their paycheck. And they're looking around. Am I going to get a raise? Is it going to be the same old thing? Do I get a better job at the end of the year? Do I get a new salary, new job responsibilities? Or is it the same old thing I've been doing for 36 years?
Mm-hmm.
So they look at that. And if it's not going to get any better, they may retire if they're 60 or 62. Now, a lot of people love what they're doing. Their job is fun still. And they've worked for several different companies. So they like their responsibilities, they like their salary, and they're going to go on, you know, for several more years. And then we have people that are not in IRAs. They just have oil money, lots and lots of it. And, you know, sometimes if they have some policies go over, they get a little antsy. But they should always remember, they'll always get their principal, they're always going to get their interest. And let's say it's a year late or a year and a half, you know. You're probably not going to spend it anyway. You're probably going to just put it back in your account and reissue it. You're probably just going to put it in another policy with us. So it's not that, it shouldn't be that big a concern if it goes over a year or a year and a half. You know, it shouldn't be that big a concern because the money's still there. You're still going to get paid. You're still going to get your interest. It's not going to change any of that. You'll always get your money.
And the other thing that, speaking of, you know, you'll always get your money, another thing that kind of crosses my mind is, as you bring these things up is that even if it goes over, you pay a little bit of premium, it's still a whole lot, but you still come out farther ahead than a lot of people did again this past week, because it seems like we had another turbulent week on Wall Street. People lost money again, and so...
Would you believe billions?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was several of your big people, you know, Amazon, the other really big companies, they lost like $4 to $6 billion.
Wow.
That's a lot of money to lose.
That'd
be like you and me losing millions, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And they did lose a lot. Now, it's going to come back up. It always does. But in the meantime, look what it does to your psychic, you know, you're psyched out over this thing. It loses that much, you don't know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know if it's going to keep going up and down and falling, or if it's going to get steady. I've been listening to all of them, and nobody knows, you know?
Well, it seems like the extremes might be getting a little bit more extreme. I mean, we're used to some up and down here and there, and it kind of stays in this middle ground. But it seems like when it goes up, it goes way up. But when it goes down, it goes way down. So it seems like it's one extreme to the other. Is that a fair analysis of what's going on right now?
I think it is. It goes to the extreme. I mean, when it drops that many points, that it was the worst drop in 10 years. It was the worst loss, they said, in 10 years.
Wow.
I mean, what if that happens the day you get ready to retire?
Exactly.
And you have a loss that big. And they said, we're going to settle up with you today. If they settle up with you on that day and it's down that far, you're going to lose.
Yeah.
You don't want to settle up with your company the day it's down that far.
Oh, no. No.
So then you have to stay. You can't get out of it right then.
Sure. So even if you have to pay a few premiums when a life policy goes over, if you have to pay a few premiums and it's, we'll just say $1,000 in premiums, just throwing this out at random, it's much better than losing, I don't know, $50,000 or $100,000 or whatever people lost, you know, this past week, or, you know, you combine that with, you know, a couple weeks ago with what happened there, what may happen next week. It's a very, very, very small price to pay, it seems like, as opposed to what could happen on Wall Street. So do you find that a lot of the new people that have called you this past week, are they looking at what's going on Wall Street and saying, gosh, you know, it makes me nervous. I think we need to move to something a little bit more conservative.
Yes, that was the message I got from everybody, is we've been in the stock market a long time. Our age is catching up with us, and we need some security. We need to know where our money is and that we're not going to lose the principal. The principal is your most important asset. Your 401k is one of the biggest assets you've got. And if that goes down, you may have to work a little longer, maybe another 5 years. So my theory would be get it in something that you know you can't lose the principal. Remember, when you're in the stock market, everything is on your shoulders. It's not the company. They're not going to guarantee one dime of that stock market.
Yeah, you take
all
the risk.
All they're doing is investing what you've got.
Mm-hmm. And
it's guaranteed.
They really can do anything they want to with it.
They can. If it loses, you lose, and they say, I'm sorry, your money's gone.
Yeah.
I've never heard one of them say, I'll make it up, we'll make up the difference for you, we'll take care of you. No. You knew when you invested that there was 100% risk now. You knew you could lose your money.
Yeah.
And you go, I didn't know I could lose $100,000 in one day.
Sure. Easily.
Yeah, you know, and so the shock of it is going to put you in the hospital. You know? I mean, gosh.
And the broker's already been paid.
The shock is too much, yeah.
So they
shock
don't,
is too much.
They don't have any kind of personal attachment to anything. It's just kind of like whatever they want to.
It's just business.
Yeah.
They put it in. If it makes money, fine. If it doesn't, it's your responsibility.
Yeah. So the difference between like investing in the stock market and investing in a life settlement, very big. Because for one, the principal doesn't go down. You may have to pay some premiums, you know, if the policy goes over, but that's one of very few risks. In fact, there's only three risks involved with a life settlement.
That's right. And your biggest risk is if it goes over. It may go over for a year. It could go 2 years. And I always put a disclaimer in here for those old policies. I always have to say, remember those. And we've got those over to the side. But regular policies, you know, it shouldn't go over a year or 2 years, and most of them don't. And the premium is usually not real high. Usually the premium is very reasonable. And I go over the premium. Every time before we buy a policy, I go over it over and over to make sure it's not high, to make sure we can afford it, make sure our clients can afford it.
So
and then, of course, we're looking at the people as hard as we can, make sure as much as we can that they'll come in when they say it will.
And I'm going to put you on the spot here because I think it's important to make note of this. When you say a policy may go over, and it probably won't go over a year or two, we're talking about regular policies, not the elderly policies that you're just waiting on to expire. You don't do those anymore. But for like a regular policy, a typical investment that somebody would come in on, what would be maybe the average amount of time that it might go over?
Well, the ones this last year were a year to 14 months.
So not long.
Now, not long. There may be some that go longer than that, but I'm looking at the ones that this year have come due and how long they were. They were like a year to 12 months over. And we had those two that were old ones that came in. Of course, they were like, 4 years, 3 years, whatever it was.
Yeah.
But people can go to the website and look and see everything that came in this year. How long was it? Was it on time? Was it early? Was it late? We always want you to know all the facts of everything.
Mm-hmm. And that's
we want
one
them
of the,
know as much as we know.
That's one of the great things about a life settlement is that the amount of information that people have when they go into this kind of investment is phenomenal because they know exactly everything that the policyholder has been through. They know the type of cancer that they have. They know the treatments that they've been through. They also know, and you've pointed this out before, even more importantly, besides what they have done for treatments, it's what they haven't done for treatment.
That's exactly right. When we look at all these and see what kind of treatment they've had. Have they been to Mexico? Are they in treatment in Mexico? If they are, we're going to try to buy it. We know it's going to be faster than regular treatment. When people do regular treatment, it's tried and true. You know, it may not save them, but it may extend their life. You know, it may make them live a little longer. When people do experimental trials, that makes them live maybe 8 or 9 months longer. Mm-hmm. A lot of things will extend your life. But when you quit the clinical trials, then you're right back where you were. And then it's a pretty fast pace going downhill.
Yeah. And you know this because you've seen this before. You've done this for a very long time, and so you've been watching the trends. How has your analysis of certain types of cancer and certain policies, how has your analysis changed since you started, or even just say in the last 10 years, say? Because I know cancer treatments have changed. I know people's approach to treating cancer has changed. So I'm sure there's been some ways that you look at maybe policy.
Clinical trials helps them. It will extend their life. Clinical trials does help them. It will extend their life. We have new drugs coming out all the time. But it isn't saving the really hard cases. The ones that we buy are the ones, you know, stage four. If you read all the health ones, they've tried everything. They've done everything. And now they're at the end of life where the pain is so great, you know, they're on hydrocodone. Mm. When people are on hydrocodone, I buy those policies. They're in such pain, they need to get this over with. You know, the treatments, they need to just cut them back down. And if they're taking 5 or 6, you know, pain deals for cancer, they're in bad shape. And, you know, we're always talking about the clients in this. One of our accountants is now finishing up some cancer. And so it's brought us closer to this, to knowing which drugs work and how all this works. You know, we don't always get a first-hand synopsis. We're getting a first-hand look at it now.
Yeah, you're seeing it from the other side.
We're seeing it from the other side as well. And the new drugs that they're putting out, they're trying those right now. And, of course, you know, one of our attorneys has stomach cancer. And, you know, he's in clinical trials. And he's on chemo. I mean, he has survived right now 2 years with stomach cancer that's really, really bad.
Wow.
And we don't know how it'll end up. But I know he's going to Houston, to MD Anderson for the clinical trials. He's going to UT Southwest for the chemo. So a lot of people go through an awful lot when it's stage four, you know, trying to save it. And it doesn't always work, as you know.
Yeah, I mean,
if
know.
If it's stage two or three, they might save you. But I don't think, I haven't had anybody saved when they were stage four so far.
Yeah, and we know.
They may extend it.
And that's, I mean, ultimately, in the end, you know, we hope that, you know, people are able to beat it. But the reality is that stage four cancer, we know statistically that it generally claims most people that are diagnosed with stage four. And that's how this becomes an investment, is because when people are faced with that diagnosis, one of the first things they think is, oh, my gosh, can we treat it? Can we do something about it? And oftentimes the doctors will say, yes, but we all know that treatment to that magnitude is very, very expensive. And so people need to find a way to come up with a lump sum of money quickly. And so they put their policy up for sale, and then you come in and you bid against other companies and you buy them up so that people can get that lump sum. As soon as you buy it, they get their cash, they can go do their treatments right away. But then at
yes,
that point.
Yes, and I know where a lot of them are going. There's several big cancer treatment centers in the South, and then there's one in Tijuana. A lot of people are going to Tijuana.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're going to Tijuana. We know about it every day. And I just don't know how that's going to work out, you know?
Wow.
But I know that the ones here, you know, they go and they go to the last second. I can tell you that.
Yeah. So when you have this policy, just say a random policy, you've got this, and so now you can turn around and turn this into an investment opportunity. And to make it really super overly simple, you have people come in, they put some money in the policy, and basically they wait for it to mature. And when it does, they get paid along with a certain percentage. Because I know, and I've heard a couple of people ask this past week, how do we actually make money? We have our share that we invest in the
policy.
When
it matures.
Right.
When the policy matures, you've got all this profit coming. It may be 24%, it might be 28%, it might be 12%, mm-hmm. depending on how many months that policy was. If it's 12 months, you're going to get 12%. You know, we pay 1% a month. If it's 24 months, you're going to get 24%. So you're always going to get your percentage. It's written in the contract how much you'll get. Doesn't matter what happens. You're going to get your principal and your interest at the end of the policy. And the bank is the one that pays it out. We have a deal with the bank where they act as our trustee. So when the policy matures, they get a certified death certificate. They send it to the insurance company. They write a check to the bank, and the bank pays everybody. It's just real simple.
So it's a very streamlined process, very simple, very easy. It's basically just set it and forget it. You're just waiting at that point. You don't have to be up all night wondering, you know, my gosh, did the value of anything go down? Yeah, I see something terrible happen on Wall Street. How does that affect my policy? The point is, it doesn't, because it's completely self-contained.
That's exactly right. And we have the bank handling everything. The bank acts for us. They act as trustee on everything we do. We never touch the money. It's not one of those deals where you can bank and run off in the middle of the night with your money.
Mm-hmm. And one thing we should
point out
is that, you know, you were talking about percentages. If the policy is 24 months, then it's 24%. The great thing is if it comes in early, like you talk all the time about how so many policies have come in early this year, if it comes in early, they still get the full 24%. That it's, if it comes in half the time, it's not like their profit is cut in half. They still get the full profit, just quicker.
That's exactly right. If it's late, they still get the whole profit. They're not going to be any penalties or anything like that. There's no cost associated with it. They're going to get their money regardless. That's why I like life insurance policies. You know they'll pay off. It's not like some other things, you know?
So let's talk about one thing real quick that we sometimes wait until the end to cover. This type of investment is not for everybody. In order to do this, no. You must be accredited.
That's exactly right. You must make either $200,000 a year, or you must be worth $1 million without your home. And most of our people are. And so when they call us, most people say, yes, I am worth $1 million, or yes, I do make over $200,000.
Mm-hmm.
So that's exactly the way it works.
Okay. And the reason for that is because, well, there's a couple of different reasons. One, it's regulation. But two, the type of person who would invest in something like this is not going to have some kind of an emergency, whether it's a health emergency or, you know, their home got flooded or the truck blew up and they need to get a new one right away. They've got plenty of emergency money. They've got plenty of money to live on because, and this brings us to the second risk, the policy is not liquid during the term.
That's exactly right. It's not liquid from the time you put it in till it matures. And when it matures, the cash goes back in your account one more time. If it runs over, it runs over. You might have to pay premiums. They might be $1,000. They could be $1,400. They might be $400. We just don't know. But all of this, you know, we've been doing it a long time. People have been doing it a long time before us. So we know how to make it safe. The insurance companies do because they write the policies. And none of these companies are less than A-rated. That's why we know that the policies are safe.
And that brings us, it kind of touches on the third risk. And that is that if an insurance company goes under, what would happen?
Well, we've never had one in Texas go under. But if a life insurance company ever went under, the Texas Guarantee Fund would cover it up to $250,000. Well, it's $300,000 now per policy.
Okay.
So, you know, we have always had a larger life insurance company buy one if anybody ever went under. You know, about a year ago, there was a company that was looking bad. I don't remember the name of it. But another company came in before anybody could even think about it. They had it bought within 30 days.
Oh, really?
And that happens all the time. Oh, yeah. These life insurance companies are worth so much money. They have so much premium income, they couldn't spend it all. So that's why they always have enough money to buy somebody out. And that's why you don't hear about life insurance companies going under.
I've never asked you this question before, and I don't even know if there's an answer or if the answer is so obvious I'm just not seeing it. What would cause an insurance company to go under? What would have to happen for that to be the case?
Well, it'd have to be where they couldn't pay their claims. In other words, their cash flow would have to be down, and they didn't have enough cash flow to pay premiums or to do payouts. But see, they have to have an escrow account for premiums for everything they write. They have to have premiums where they could pay that tomorrow if they had to. If they had to pay off on everybody, they could do it.
Okay, so let
me make
sure.
They have a lot more escrowed money than any bank ever thought of.
To make sure that I understand this correctly, they have to be able to pay their policies and their if when it matures.
They have to be able to pay all claims at any moment.
So in order to do that, they have an escrow account. So there would be something there to pay it.
Yes,
so
even huge amount.
Even if they were.
If you look at the financials of one of the life companies and it says premium income, you'll see how much it is. It's huge, humongous.
So is it fair to say that there's almost a safety net in place anyway?
There is. There has to be. There's always a safety net.
Well, then that kind of makes me feel really, really good then, especially when you compare this to other opportunities. This just seems like a win-win. I'm trying to find poke holes in this or try to find, you know, why somebody wouldn't do this, especially in today's landscape. And I tell you, Faye, I'm just not seeing it. I'm seeing, you know, this is just a win-win on every single level.
Well, I think it is because, first of all, the principal is safe. That's the main thing. You're not going to lose your principal. It's in a life insurance policy. And then your income, your interest is going to be paid to you. It's in the contract with the life insurance. So, you know, the risk, as I told you, is it could go over, it could delay your payment. That's the biggest risk. The second risk is it's not liquid, but it's an IRA most of the time, so it doesn't matter. You're not going to need it for 2 or 3 years. So, you know, I think it's a good investment. Our people, as I said, they were paid $12 million this year.
Wow. See, now I see.
That's a lot.
I see very clearly why you've had so many new people come to see you this week and why you've had so many investors that have been with you for so long doing this over and over and over, you know, taking the profits from one policy, putting it into another policy, and just keep growing their money. It makes total sense in the world right now because I'm sure these people, especially after their first policy, and they realize, my gosh, I don't have to be up all night worrying if something happened to affect my policy. I'm not going to lose all my money. I'm just basically sitting there. It's like planting a tree. All you have to do is just wash it. You plant it. You water it a little bit, and it really takes no maintenance whatsoever. You just kind of wait for it to grow.
It is, and it makes sense to me.
Yeah. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330, and we're at 3105 Big Spring, right here in Midland, Texas.
Now, every Saturday morning around this time, we get into trivia, and you always have interesting, fun things to talk about. So what's the topic this morning?
It's about a Western writer that's from out here near Midland. He's been named the best Western writer there ever was, and he might be. He's really good. He was born on a ranch, lived on a ranch, and writes about ranch life. His name is Elmer Shelton. He was born in 1926, and he was a best-selling writer, a journalist. He was famous for his Western novels. He was born at Horace Camp, and that's located on Five Wells Ranch in Andrews County. When he was about three, his family relocated to the McElroy Ranch. Everybody out there knows McElroy Ranch. It's in Upton and Crane. It's right next to Crane and southwest of Midland. Mm-hmm. The remainder of his childhood was spent at three distinct locations on the McElroy Ranch. His dad worked there for 36 years. It's a long time work for one ranch, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Man, that's like a lifetime.
It is. He graduated from the University of Texas. He went there from 1942 to 48, and he got a Bachelor of Arts in Journalism. He went to the Army in World War II. He married a lady named Anna Lepp from Austria. They had three kids. One was hers, then he had a boy and a girl. From 1948 to 63, he worked as a ranch and farm editor for the Hart Hanks in San Angelo. For 5 years, he worked as one of the editorial staff for Sheep and Goat magazine.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. And then for two decades, he worked for Livestock Weekly as his editor. He retired from them in 1990. In his memoir, he wrote Sand Hills Boy, and it was in 2007. But his books appeared in Reader's Digest. 8 of his books have won Spur Award by the Western Writers of America. As I said, they've named him the best writer in America. 3 of his books, The Man Who Rode Midnight, The Time It Never Rained, and The Good Old Boys, have won Western Heritage Awards. The Good Old Boys was made into a movie. Tommy Lee Jones played the lead with Sissy Spacek.
Ooh, cool.
Yeah. He in 1977, he received a Lifetime Achievement Award. But he died in 09. He was just trying to finish up one of these. But The Time It Never Rained is about a real drought out here in West Texas. It really happened. He wrote about the 1950s. A lot of his books were about the ranchers and the things they had to go through. He wrote a book about, and I didn't even know this, in The Good Old Boys. He wrote about a long time ago in the 1800s and 1900s. And the ranchers would not let the cowboys own cattle.
Really?
It was because they thought they would become thieves if they owned any cattle.
Oh, wow.
So they weren't even allowed to own anything.
I didn't know
except
that.
Except their horse. Yeah. That was one of his real good stories he wrote about. I love his Western stories. They are really interesting. They had a lot of interesting things about the old times in it. And The Good Old Boys, he wrote about a lot of plots and twists and blazing shootouts. And so that made it really interesting with all the shootouts. And there's some aspect he had romance, friendship, love, determination, and a lot of sacrifice. And they were butting heads over water and over the barbed wire. So barbed wire plays a significant role all through our history.
You've talked about the history of barbed wire before, and this keeps coming up in different stories.
It does. It keeps coming up. And they wrote a lot of books about it, about the ranchers and all these people butting heads. A lot of them wanted their land fenced about that time, and a lot of them didn't. So they were having shootouts. They were killing each other over it, you know?
Wow.
And, yeah. And his books were really good. I recommend everybody get his books and read them. There's probably 30 of them.
Wow.
That he wrote. Yeah. Yeah, I bet he wrote 30.
Goodness gracious. You know, I'm there's something about Western writers that is different than other types of writing. To me, it seems like it's more visual. You know, you can take a writer, and they're all very good. Credit to all writers who have been successful in the business. But it seems like, you know, you can only write so much about... you know, the description of you know, like a building in, you know, a city someplace. You know, they're tall. They're some of it is interesting, but some of it's plain. It just seems like Western, between like the architecture, the descriptions of, you know, people, what they're wearing. You know, like you were talking about, you know, the shootouts. It seems like there's so much more. Visual detail in Western types of writing than in other types. And I might be biased, I'm not sure, but it just seems to me that it's a little bit more lively.
Let me tell you something. They're interesting enough. It keeps your attention, makes you want to go to the next chapter.
Yeah.
And a lot of the books nowadays are so bad, I pick them up and I put them back down. They're too rough for me. They've got such language, I don't even want to know about it.
Well, yeah, that too.
They don't have to talk like that. And in a good Western, you're not going to find any filthy language. Mm-hmm. It'll be good language, They may kill each other or have a shootout, but you're not going to find that other stuff. And they talk about the skies, they talk about sunsets, they talk about their water and their horses, and they describe the horses, and it's really interesting to read, and it'll keep your attention. And these new kind of books do not keep my attention; they're just too far out for me.
Exactly. You know, you just don't get the same kind of, I mean, yeah, you can read some other type of book or story or whatever, and you can see it in your mind. It's just when you read a Western, you can really, there's so much detail because there's so much detail in the real item, whether it's a house or an outfit that somebody's wearing, all the way down to like a belt or the description of horses. It's just, it's so detailed. It's one of those things that you can really, really get a really intense picture of what's going on in your mind. And I think that's what helps bond people to the stories and what makes them so interesting, because I've read the difference between the two. I've read, several other books that you might find on the New York Times bestseller list. And then I've read some Westerns before. And it's really, it's just shocking because the Western just pulls you in and you become part of it.
Well, and what I love is when the cowboys they're riding along and talking to each other.
Yeah.
I love it. The conversations are real and they're alive, and I love to hear what these old cowboys are saying.
Yeah.
When they're riding the reins together and after the cattle, and the cattle out grazing at night, and they're on duty, and it's a whole different world.
Yeah, it's.
And I find it very, very interesting, and I think we should not let our cowboy heritage pass us by. We need to still be reading these Western books.
Yeah, they have real conversations that regular people would have instead of some kind of flowery, conversation using words that people don't usually use in their everyday life just to try to make them fancy. And I think a lot of times it just kind of takes the personality right out of it. So, yeah, I totally agree that we need to keep in touch with these types of things.
Yeah, I think it's good. And Kelton writes a book better than anybody I've known. And I recommend all of his books. I haven't found any of them that weren't exciting and weren't really, really good. And I think it's because he lived on a ranch. He lived it. He knew cowboys. He knew ranchers. And that story of the drought is one of the best ones because he remembered the drought out there in West Texas and how it affected everybody.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
So I recommend it.
What's his name again?
Kelton.
Kelton. Elmer Kelton.
Uh-huh. Yes, and he died, as I said, in 2009. He was born in 1926. And it's Elmer, is his first name, Elmer Kelton.
All right.
You can look anywhere, and there'll be a long list anywhere you go of his books. And I can tell you, I'm looking here at least 30. That he has published.
Wow, that's a lot to choose from. Hey, that'll keep you busy for a while then if you start going one yeah. after another.
Yeah, he wrote Texas Vendetta, Jericho's Road, Ranger's Law, Hard Trail to Follow, Other Men's Horses, Texas Standoff. I mean, that's just getting you started.
Wow. Elmer Kelton, he's going on the list of must reads.
Yes, and he started this a long time ago and he wrote just an awful lot of them, and they're, as I said, they're just really, really good.
Good deal. Love it. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
We should point out that is your office number, and this being Saturday, there's nobody there right now. But go ahead. If you want to call right now, you can leave a message, and Faye will call you back. Schedule an appointment, go in and talk about how this is, really this, I guess, forgive me if I'm saying this wrong, but the safest way, the most conservative way that I can find anyway of growing your money so that you can go ahead and retire. If you want to retire early, you'll it's always nice to have that option, even if you don't want to, just knowing that it's there and you could retire at any moment. That takes so much pressure off people's backs, but a lot of times we wait until the last last minute. It's just something we put off. We know we need to do it. We think about it for years and years and years, but we just don't. And so really,
people procrastinate. You know that. We talk about it all the time.
Exactly. That's always been the big thing, is that people just procrastinate. And so, and I think that maybe it's one of those things that isn't really fun to do. But once you do it, this is basically a set it and forget it type of deal. You don't have to maintain things. You don't have to constantly, get involved. It's like when a policy matures, you send out an email. Here it is. It'll be in your account soon. Here's another one. Invest. And that's really all it is to it. I mean, it's very simple.
It really is. And people need to stay fully invested if they're going to make any money. If you don't want to make any money, just leave it in cash.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to get a good return, you need to keep it fully invested, okay?
And so the way to do this the best way is to be as diversified as you possibly can. So you got, like you were talking about earlier, you got some smaller policies and you've got some larger policies. And each type of policy is for each individual person. So there may be people that don't like a large policy, and then there's maybe other people that do. Maybe some people want to be in a policy with just one or two other people. Others want to be, spread out with maybe 5 or 10. And I'm just making up these numbers here as we go. But regardless of where somebody is, you have something for everybody. And so you tailor somebody's plan based on who they are, where they are currently when they're starting, and where they want to be in X number of years. And so you're going to work all of this out for them. They don't have to be, any kind of retirement expert. That's what you're for. You'll put them on the path that they need to be on to get where they want to be.
Yes, and then we want to see that it works, that, their policies are turning, that the interest is coming in, and get it reinvested for them.
So when you're looking at these policies to invest in, you're looking at this as a big picture. I don't want anybody to say, okay, I'll go in and I'll do this one big policy, and then I'm gonna make a bajillion dollars, and then I'm going to retire next week. That's not how this is. This is part of a plan.
No, this isn't going to happen that way.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not like winning the lottery or, the other thing where the guy comes around in a van and gives you a big rubber check. This is not that at all. This is responsible planning. This is responsible investing, but you've got to get started. And so for somebody who's saying to themselves, my gosh, I'm in my 40s or I'm near 50 or even in your early 50s, and they're saying, I haven't done anything yet. I've got some savings, but I haven't really actually started to grow that savings, which is a whole nother thing. It's one thing to have some money set aside. It's another thing to be growing that money. So if somebody's, in their late 40s, early 50s, and they say, I haven't done anything, is it too late for that person?
No, it's time for them to get started. That's a good age. It's perfect.
So how long would you say it takes somebody to grow their money? And I know everybody's situation is different, but to grow their money in an average time span, how long would you say somebody needs to be investing?
Well, I think the next 8 or 10 years is going to be real important.
Okay. So is the faster they get started, the faster they'll be ready to retire.
That's right.
So for somebody who maybe they've got a couple of people, maybe they've got, like a brother or a sister or a husband or a wife team even, or, something like that. Is it possible for a couple of people to maybe do something like this together, or even like a parent and a child?
Yes, they can. There's all kinds of ways to do it, okay?
So the point is to actually get started and get on it.
That's right. You're not going to accomplish anything, but just talking about it. You can talk about it I would say that, but you can talk about it for years.
Don't say, I know where you're
making money. I know, I didn't do that. Oh, man.
So for somebody who's been in the stock market and they say, well, geez, I did okay. I've been all right so far, but I'm getting closer to retirement. Do you find that people that come to you say, 20 years out from retirement, I've got a little bit of room to get a little bit risky. If I lose a bunch, I still got time to regain it. But as people close in and that window of recovery starts to close. And so if something does happen, the closer they get to retirement, obviously that could push back retirement, could eliminate retirement altogether, depending on how much somebody may lose in, say, like the stock market or other types of investments. Do you find that people, as they get closer, they start to get a little bit more conservative? Is that maybe a reason that
they
some
get
people
a lot
see?
More conservative when they get about 55?
Okay, so that's like a
tipping point. 55 or 60, they're a lot more conservative. They're worried about if the stock market should go down and they're ready to retire, they're going to lose it.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody wants to lose their money. That's a horrible even thought, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You don't want to lose everything 5 years before retirement.
No, no.
No, because then you've got to start over, and there's 20 years of investing down the tubes.
Down the tubes.
For somebody who is interested in this, what are the requirements? And I know we talked about it a little bit earlier, but I want to stress this again because you get so many questions about, you know, how do I know that I'm actually accredited and I qualify for this?
They need to come and add it all up. Bring their assets over. Bring their 401k. If they have rent houses, if they have a ranch, whatever they have it in. I know they've got other investments. Add it up and see.
Okay. So for somebody who does not qualify, somebody who's not accredited, it doesn't mean that they have to throw everything away and just work until they tip over.
There's we can put them in annuities. Annuities have been around 150 years. We do fixed annuities. We do not do variable annuities. We don't do stock market annuities. They're going to guarantee the principal from the time they put it in to the time they take it out.
Okay. So the point is here is that there are a number of options depending on where somebody is, what they qualify for, or even just if it comes down to a fact of what they're comfortable with. But the point is, for every single scenario, you've got to go ahead and get started. So one last time, Faye, I know you've got some availability this coming week, but people do need to make an appointment. Don't just pop in because you're very, very busy. You want to make sure you have the time laid out for people to give them exactly what they need, answer any questions they may have and all that. So for somebody to call and make an appointment one last time, Faye, what's your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.